This podcast contains explicit content and is not suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to Always the Last to Know. I'm Ash.
I'm Katie.
How you doing, Katie?
I'm binge watching Riverdale right now. Actually, let's talk about this.
Okay.
Because truly, it's one of the only things that I think about. Earlier, someone said something, and what I heard was Forsyth, and I literally whipped my head at work. I was like, are you talking about Riverdale? And they're like, no.
Oh my god.
These children in this show own multiple businesses.
Yes.
What the fuck?
How do they find the time?
And they're in school. Some of them are in gangs. They're also solving murders and mysteries.
Like, what is happening?
Dealing with serial killers.
They're all 25.
Yeah, they're all older. So I'm just about to finish season four. P is going apeshit. About to finish season four. I'm super excited. I'm very behind. But yeah, that's like my update right now is, what the fuck are these cats doing?
They're causing chaos behind you. I think I'm also, did we establish that I'm also in the middle of season four?
Yes.
Although I'm not actively watching right
yes,
now.
Yes. That is just the last episode that you watched.
No, I am actively watching Glee for the first time.
Oh my God,
I am in season four of that.
Yes. Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
I'm loving it. I don't know why I thought it was stupid when I was younger. Especially as a theater person who went to theater camp.
Because when it first came out, the first season, Ryan Murphy intended for that show to be a satire.
Yes, he did. Tim told me about this.
So the first season and what it was when it first came out is, I mean, I understand why as a theater kid you're like, oh great, this show making fucking fun of me. Like, fuck you. But
you know,
then,
for being a show that is satire, the music is absolutely incredible.
Oh, he went too hard. He went too hard, and people were like, this is amazing. Like, yeah.
My favorite version of Don't Stop Believing ever.
Yeah, he went way too hard, and people loved it. And they're like, oh, yeah, give us more of this. And he was just like, oh, I don't think you understand what I was trying to do.
Well, sir, you gave us something really great. Thanks.
Yeah. He made something else wonderful. The later seasons,
meh. Once the original crew goes off to college, that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Yeah, that's weird. And I don't know, like, the dude is like potentially a pedophile.
Oh, the one who plays Puckerman.
Yes.
Yeah. There's weird deaths mm-hmm. around.
Weird curse surrounding Glee.
I mean, Naya. Oh my gosh, that was awful.
Yeah, that was awful. Oh, that's right, Corey. Yeah, so
the one who plays Puckerman, also dead. But also, every time he's on screen now, I get really weird vibes, especially with some of the storylines that they give him.
Oh, it completely changes his character.
There was one episode where him and one of the girls that he had been with, I can't remember her name, but they were like trying to figure out how to make a sex tape together. And then a teacher saw what they were doing and was like, you do realize that because you're both minors, you'd be labeled as like pedophiles.
Yeah.
And I was just, and she was like, that would be child pornography. And I was like, oh, the foreshadowing.
Whoa. Yeah, dude.
So uncomfortable.
Yeah. There's just a lot of stuff like that. I remember after Corey Monteith died, I had this crazy fucking dream where I was like walking out of the restaurant that I worked at in college, because that's when this happened. And Lea Michele, who was like dating him, or I think engaged at that point.
I think so.
IRL asked to borrow my phone in the dream. And I was like, yeah, sure. And I gave it to her. And then when she gave it back to me, she had called one number like 45 times or something. And in the dream, I fucking dialed it. And it was his phone number. I was having a dream about her trying to call the voicemail of her now deceased fiance. Like, dude, it fucked me up. Because at that point, I'm not even like a huge fan or anything. But that dream fucked me up.
Wow.
Like, what the fuck? What the fuck?
What a weird dream to have.
It was super fucking weird. I mean, yeah, I watched the show. It was really good. But I would never, ever consider myself like a gleek is what
they were referred to. Is that what they're called? Oh, no.
Yep. And then I think they had like
I don't know why I hated shit. On it. I don't know why.
Oh, I hated on it too. I think just because well, yeah, but in the sense of like, I think it's like, didn't they like go to like the movie theaters and like sing? I don't know. Or maybe it was like concerts. I don't know. But there was like a whole fucking thing going on when we were in college, dude. Glee was so popular. Mm-hmm. It was crazy.
Tim had it on at his house and I was just watching it. And I think they were like halfway through season one. And I was like, okay, well, I'm intrigued. So I'm going to watch this. And I am 4.5 seasons deep now.
Well, Brittany's my favorite character.
Oh, yes. Oh, my. What's her cat's name? Lord Tubington.
Yep, Lord Tubington.
He's a psycho.
Yeah, she's my favorite fucking character. Shit, maybe I'll watch Glee now.
Yeah, do it. Finish Riverdale first.
I'm going to finish Riverdale.
We can switch. Ooh, I'll finish Glee and then I'll start Riverdale.
Okay, perfect. Listeners, y'all pick whichever one and hop in. You can keep any of this in or don't. Who knows what's going to happen with this episode, Ashley. Oh, I just meant you or me, whoever's editing this, keep it in, don't, who knows. Mm. Maybe add it at the end for a little rant. Maybe this is Patreon content. Anyway, so yeah, things are kind of the same, working, doing stuff. I mean, same with you, campaigning, being a grown up.
Campaigning, working, Choopy's doing well.
Sweet, sweet Choopy.
He's got a checkup next week for blood work to make sure that the medicine is working properly.
Oh, good.
Yep. But other than that, life is pretty normal, which honestly, at this point, I'll fucking take.
Yeah, seriously. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So I guess we should get into it then.
Yeah.
Okay. Kitties, I will put you away.
You're going to be putting time out, kitty cats.
Right, I'm gonna kick you guys out of here. Okay, this is a first on the podcast. Ashley genuinely does not know what we're going to talk about today.
Oh, I don't?
No.
Sometimes we lie to you and we already know.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, guys.
And I told her that we were going to either be covering the history of like credit or the history of the Supreme Court. So we can mark those down for other episodes.
Now I'm genuinely curious.
Yeah, it's been a big buildup at this point. I started the research and it was just like kind of boring. I wasn't feeling it. So today we're going to be talking about clones.
Oh. I'm like, how was that at all boring?
It just wasn't the same. You know, I just like, I was like reading it and I was like, ugh, this history and math and economy, that's not what I want to do. And I was like, okay. So then this article came up and the title of this article was "Scientists Create Synthetic Mouse Embryos, a Potential Key to Healing Humans."
Oh.
And I was like, that's really interesting.
Let's get into that.
Well, so it made me think, I then had a lot of questions about cloning and clones and stuff like that. And then I went down that rabbit hole and I was like, you know what? We're going to talk about clones on the podcast. So.
I'm ready.
It's like such a fucking left field topic.
It really is. This is not where I thought you were never, going at all.
Never once spoken to Ashley about clones. Ever.
Oh my gosh. Let's do this.
Okay. So, in nature, this is from genome.gov. In nature, some plants and single-celled organisms, like bacteria, produce genetically identical offspring through a process called asexual reproduction. So that's like a natural cloning sort of thing.
And then mm-hmm. in the same website, Ben referred to identical twins as natural clones, which made me really fucking uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Did not love that.
Don't love hearing it like that.
No. I really hated it. So, did you know that there are three different types of cloning?
No, I didn't.
Me either. Dude, I learned so much. I could not shut the fuck up about clones today at work. So there's gene cloning, reproductive cloning, and therapeutic cloning.
Okay.
So gene cloning produces copies of genes or segments of DNA. Reproductive cloning produces copies of whole animals. And therapeutic cloning produces embryonic stem cells for experiments aimed at creating tissues to replace injured or diseased tissues.
Hmm.
So what we're really, like, what I really want to talk about, obviously, is reproductive cloning. But I wouldn't feel like, it wouldn't feel like I was doing the topic solid if I just skipped over the other types. So, gene cloning. Researchers use cloning techniques to make copies of the genes that they want to study.
Okay.
The procedure consists of inserting a gene from one organism, often referred to as foreign DNA, gross, into the genetic material of a carrier called a vector. So that can be bacteria, yeast cells, viruses, or plasmids, which I didn't know what that was. So those are small DNA circles carried by bacteria.
Okay.
After the gene is inserted, the vector is placed in laboratory conditions that prompt it to multiply, resulting in the gene being copied a bunch of times over.
The vector.
So yeah, that's that, and that's all we're going to get about that. So... therapeutic cloning. Fantastic. Yeah, look, I really had one thing that I wanted to talk about. And if people want to talk to me about anything else other than monkeypox and cloning, I don't really want to talk about it right now.
Not the monkeypox.
Dude, I am so fucked up over that video that you sent me.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. Everyone should know. Monkeypox can cause butt lesions. Okay. So, therapeutic cloning involves creating a cloned embryo for the sole purpose of producing embryonic stem cells with the same DNA as the donor cell.
Okay.
Very science. So, these stem cells can be used in experiments aimed at, like, understanding diseases or developing new treatments. The website genome.gov felt it was very important to note here that to date, there is no evidence that human embryos have been produced for therapeutic cloning.
Can I just tell you that as soon as you brought up the therapeutic cloning, I just thought of the fact that all of these, like, pro-life quote-unquote, because they're really just pro-birth, but all these pro-birth people are just trying to say that Planned Parenthood is using abortions to get fetuses for stem cell research. And we're like, that's literally not what happens. But yep. Thanks for being a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
Really great for you.
And we're actually going to get into some of the laws a little bit later. Don't you fucking weird. I actually would be really surprised if any forced birthers were still listening to this, but you never know. So, the richest source of embryonic stem cells is tissue formed during the first 5 days after the egg has started to divide. At this stage, called the blastocyst, the embryo Ooh. Consists of a cluster of about 100 cells that can become any type. Again, it's about 100 cells. Stem cells are harvested from cloned embryos at this stage of development, resulting in the destruction of the embryo while still in the test tube. My next note is literally, ooh, forest brothers are probably pissed. And the goal of therapeutic cloning is to use embryonic stem cells, which have the unique ability to generate into virtually any type of cells in an organism, to grow healthy tissue in a laboratory that can be used to replace injured or diseased tissues. Do you want to guess where that is from? Yes, you're right. Genome.gov. That's where all of those quotes came from.
I'm proud of you for getting good sources.
Oh, yeah. I had to go to, like, some real science-y people. That's obviously not what I'm here to talk about. Clearly, I want to talk about cloning people and animals. So, reproductive cloning. In reproductive cloning, researchers remove a mature somatic cell, such as a skin cell or just something that has, like, DNA. I didn't super understand the full definition of somatic cell because it's apparently somehow different from the cells that are sperm cells or egg. I don't know. Biology shit. I'm not a biologist. There's a thing called somatic cell, and it's like a skin cell. So they can take that from an animal that they want to copy, and then they transfer the DNA from that into the donor animal's cell. Wait. They transfer the DNA of the donor animal's somatic cell into an egg cell that has its own DNA nucleus removed.
Whoa.
Right?
That's crazy.
They just like,
I'm like, how do you do that?
I don't know. I don't know actually how they do it, but that's how I imagine.
No.
Oh my god. Researchers can add the DNA from the somatic cell to the empty egg in two different ways. The first way is they remove the DNA-containing nucleus of the somatic cell with a needle and inject it into the empty egg. Or the second way is they use an electrical current to fuse the entire somatic cell with the empty egg.
Whoa.
Isn't that weird?
Whoa.
Quote genome.gov. I like, there's something so like Frankenstein and God, yeah. Godly about it.
Well, you know what that like visually makes me like think of is when people put sand or water on top of something and then do like the sound waves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just imagine them like vibrating together like that.
Oh my God, totally.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. In both of these processes, the egg is allowed to develop into an early stage embryo into the test tube, and then is implanted into the womb of an adult female animal. Little test tube thingies.
And at this point, it basically becomes like IVF for an animal.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah. The main difference being
the like cloning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And stuff. But IVF, the issue with the laws, and this is going to come up later, is a lot of the laws and language for the two things are very similar. So they had to be careful. It's actually, it's a really interesting thing. I had no fucking idea that this rabbit hole was going to take me down what it did. Ultimately, the adult female gives birth to the animal that has the same genetic makeup as the animal that donated the somatic cell. This young animal is referred to as a clone. Reproductive cloning may require the use of a surrogate mother to allow development of the cloned embryo, as was the case for the most famous cloned organism, Dolly the sheep.
Oh, I remember that. Mm-hmm.
And we are going to talk about Dolly. Truly, there is no point in me trying to put any of that into my own words. So again, shout out to genome.gov. Cite our sources. So the early years of cloning, scientists did it very differently. The first successful cloning was in 1952.
What?
Yeah.
Because I remember back when the sheep thing happened that everybody was like all hyped about it. And I thought that that was like the first time that it happened.
Dolly is a big deal, and we will get into why. So 1952 was a tadpole where scientists replaced the nucleus of an egg with one from a developing embryo. So it, like, wasn't necessarily, like, cloning because the embryo was, like, already developing. It's not quite there, but, like, okay. It's using the same processes. It's sort of a mix between, like, cloning and IVF.
Okay. Interesting.
Because they, like, took a nucleus from an embryo that's developing instead of the somatic cell, which is, like, a skin cell of an adult.
Yeah.
So then in 1979... researchers produced the first genetically identical mice by splitting mouse embryos in a test tube and then implanting the resulting embryos into the womb of an adult female mouse. So they kind of like made twins.
Yeah. Interesting.
Which feels fucked up.
Why do you think that?
Well, I don't know. They're just like, it's, the egg is there. It's there and they're just splitting it. I mean, I guess it was early enough that like everything was fine. I don't know. The 70s people were crazy.
Do you feel like it, that's not wrong. Do you feel like it potentially could have given deformations to?
Not necessarily deformations, but I think of like the times when you often see like a very healthy twin and one who's dealing with
and then a sickly one.
Respiratory issues or autoimmune stuff. And I always wonder if that's because of when the egg split. And like they're doing it with mice, but like, I don't know. That just felt like a premature experiment for them to be doing in 1979. I feel like they kind of rushed that, in my opinion. In my cloning scientist opinion. Okay. So shortly after that, researchers produced the first genetically identical cows, sheep, and chickens by transferring the nucleus of a cell taken from an early embryo into an egg that had been emptied of its nucleus. So now we're kind of seeing the extra steps going, which is exciting. Then July 5th, 1996, Dolly is born. After scientists in Scotland successfully use an adult sheep's mammary cell to grow her. Wow. So that's when we're seeing the somatic cell from an adult. They get that kind of coding and put that nucleus into that. So before Dolly was born, that was thought to be impossible. Scientists believe that specialized adult cells had certain jobs. Like a skin cell only does skin stuff and liver cell only does liver stuff. And that they only held the information to do that job. But Dolly was grown from a single mammary cell, which contained all of the information necessary to create a whole new sheep.
Mm.
That's from the...
That's so smart.
Right? Isn't that crazy? But, like, they didn't even think that the mammary cell would have that information.
They were just
they thought taking that it a would, guess. They thought that it would only have mammary information. Yeah, so then that was
what a great find.
It was like kind of mind-blowing that cells have that. Okay, so Dolly first started her life as a single cell in a test tube taken from a mammary gland of a Finn Dorset sheep and an egg cell from a Scottish blackface sheep. So, not a good name. What? It's like my first time saying this out loud. National Museum Scotland. This is from your website. So, once normal development was confirmed in a lab at 6 days, the embryo was transferred into a surrogate mom, and then Dolly was born July 5th. She was named after Dolly Parton, for the record. In fall of 2001, Dolly was seen to be walking stiffly, and x-rays confirmed that she had arthritis.
No!
I know. It fueled a suspicion that cloned animals, like, age prematurely. And while the cause was never established, they were giving her, like, treatment for it and stuff, and it kind of resolved within a few months. 2 years later, they were giving her a CT scan, and they discovered that she was growing tumors in her lungs.
No.
So they decided to let her pass from there instead of enduring the painful future that she held. So that was the story of Dolly. But we're going to go back to some important things that were going on in the 90s with cloning. So in 1998, the human embryonic stem cell was first isolated, which is like a pretty big thing. But also in 1998, cows cloned from fetal cells for the first time, and I quote, was the first step towards creating transgenic cows that could produce human proteins in their milk.
What?
Spoiler alert, it happened in 2011. We're going to talk about that for a quick second. Chinese scientists have produced a herd of genetically modified cows that make milk that could substitute for human breast milk. over 300 cloned cattle now live on an experimental farm in suburban Beijing with calves delivered every week.
What?
Researchers, dude, did you fucking think that this was where this episode was going? Because I fucking didn't.
Just like with such frequency, like they're really doing that so much.
Oh, dude, they're doing it so much. Okay. So researchers at the State Key Laboratory of the Agrobiotechnology of China Agriculture University introduced human genetic coding to the DNA of dairy cows' embryos and then transferred the embryos into cow surrogates. So they tested this on mice for years, and in 2003, they managed to create the first cow that could produce milk with the same nutritional properties as human breast milk, but with an even stronger taste and sweeter. A quote from Li Ning, the professor and project director, as well as a lead researcher. The genetically modified cow milk is 80% the same as human breast milk. Li's team, supported by Chinese biotechnology company, aims to have an affordable form of milk on the market by 2014, which the article was written in 2011. According to The Guardian in 2018, there are a number of scientific, safety, and taste issues that would have to be overcome before this replaces mother milk's for infants.
Oh my god.
So naturally that sent me down,
oh my god,
another rabbit hole of GMO milk and cows in the US, and what I got was this in 2022. The FDA has determined that meat from cattle bioengineered to have shorter hair poses a low risk to consumers who eat it. This is the first time the FDA has made a low risk determination in a bioengineered animal for the use of food. That's all that's going on. So yeah, I did as much as I could to find out about human milk coming from cows in China. There's not a ton of it. If anyone fucking knows, please let me know.
It makes me uncomfortable.
You have no idea how much I talked about this at work today. You have no fucking idea. So sorry to any of my coworkers out there listening. Okay, so to end out the 90s, in 1999, the Tasmanian tiger's genetic material functioned inside of a living host, making it the first time that like an endangered, extinct, almost extinct species DNA had done that.
Whoa.
Which is like pretty exciting. In 2002, a domestic cat was cloned for the first time.
Whoa.
Potentially opening up the market for people to start cloning their pets. Only 3 years later, and this is a direct quote, Snuppy the puppy is cloned. And then they say that dogs, this was a breakthrough, considering that dogs are notoriously difficult to clone. Notorious? What?
Oh, God.
Why do we know this? I have so many fucking questions.
Right? I don't want to know that. Don't be cloning the puppy.
Right?
That feels wrong.
Also in 2003, Ban Treng calves are born. In 2007, 4 gray wolves are born. Aperian ibex.
I'm sorry, what was the word you said? What was the first animal?
A Ban Treng calf.
What is that?
It's just like a special type of calf that was endangered.
Okay. The way you said calves, it, like, I couldn't, and the word before it, I could not understand.
That's fair.
What you
That's
said.
Totally fair.
My ADD brain went, whoa, 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 what? Record scratch.
4 gray wolves in 2007, Aperian ibex, all endangered species brought back with cloning.
Ooh. Yay for more wolves.
Right?
I love wolves.
I know.
I used to do all of my papers when I was in elementary school on wolves.
Of course you were a wolf kid. That makes so much sense. Bears. I was all bears. Still am.
Nice.
In 2007, adult human cells are treated with a cocktail of genes transformed. Wait, hold on. My phrasing was weird. In 2007, adult human cells treated with a cocktail transformed to an embryonic stem cell-like state. These induced, pluripotent stem cells can potentially make any cell in the body. So they made like some sort of special stem cell, which was like huge, but then people were like, ugh, we don't love that. 2011 had a big year, as I mentioned earlier, with the transgenic milk, but also the first reprogrammed stem cells from an endangered species, the white rhino, were reported, as well as projects in Japan and South Korea to resurrect the woolly mammoth.
Ooh!
With fucking clones, how dope would that be?
That would be, but also, like, where are we gonna put them?
Dude, build an island. Jay-Z and Beyonce can build an island and we'll put the woolly mammoths there.
I was like, that wouldn't be good around people.
No.
Not this many people.
Or we just give them their, we just, you know, give them their country back.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Me too. In 2011, human stem cells were also cloned. Genetic material from adult skin cells grown into an early embryo inside a human egg.
Did it go any further than that?
No, that's all I got.
Oh, okay.
So obviously this conversation could turn into one about GMO food, but that's for another day. And so is the conversation about stem cells. That's four new episodes right there that we can talk about. Stem cells, GMO foods, history of credit, history of Supreme Court. Promise we'll get to them at some point. But this conversation is obviously heading towards human cloning. The current laws we have, and honestly, we can't have a conversation about cloning without talking about fucking eugenics, really. Yeah. It always ruins the party. So going back to the 90s once again, I know we're hopping around the timeline a lot. Back to the 90s. In 1998, the human embryonic stem cell was isolated, which was a huge breakthrough that had begun in the early 90s. And when people and scientists are working on breakthroughs that are huge like that, it means that we need new language and new laws to talk about it and regulate it. So a committee called the Human Embryo Research Panel started in 1994 to kind of try and help navigate the laws and morality around what the fuck is going on. I think that all of this happened a lot faster than they thought it was going to.
Yeah.
So the panel decided to recommend the use of federal funding for a huge range of research that would involve the destruction of embryos and research that would create embryos specifically for the purpose of experimentation that would then destroy them.
Interesting.
They were met with a ton of backlash, obviously. Clinton rejected the recommendation and said that he did not agree with using federal resources for projects that were involved with the creation of human embryos. The next election brought in a Republican majority to both the House and the Senate, leading Congress in 1995 to pass the Dickey-Wicker Amendment. a law that just fully prohibited federal funding for the creation of a human embryo or embryos for research purposes, or for research in which embryos are created or destroyed.
Okay.
And President Clinton did sign that. The week after Dolly was cloned, the president ordered in memorandum that no federal funds shall be allocated for cloning of human beings. Like, just immediately, people started kind of freaking out. And that any discovery that touches upon human creation is not simply a matter of scientific inquiry, it is also a matter of morality and spirituality as well. This ban on funding was, though, largely symbolic because of the amendment that we had just talked about.
Yeah.
But I think it was just kind of Clinton trying to, like, chill everyone out over what could happen. Like, I honestly think, I don't remember Dolly really at the time I was five. Like, I feel like I do, but I don't really.
Yeah.
Clinton also called for any private sector cloning efforts and was kind of like, hey, please, everyone in this area, please follow the federal government's example.
Yeah.
to heed the federal government's example, I'm asking for a voluntary moratorium on the cloning of human beings until our Bioethics Advisory Commission and our entire nation have had a chance, real chance, to understand and debate the profound ethical implications of the latest advances.
Okay. I feel like that's a pretty middle-of-the-road response.
It is a pretty middle-of-the-road response.
Yeah.
And now, 2022, at the federal level, the only laws that really exist around cloning humans are about federal funding.
Mm, okay.
The only ones that kind of touch on the subject are really state levels. Mm. So comparing U.S. law to other countries at the time when this conversation was happening, which is 2002 at this point, the German government forbade, as a matter of principle, the importation and utilization of embryonic stem cells, as well as the derivation of stem cells. In 2004, Canadian law declared that no person shall knowingly create a human clone by using any technique, and barred payment to provide sperm, eggs, or embryos. Italy had some of the strictest cloning and embryo laws in Western Europe. It's illegal there to create human embryos for the purpose of research or experimentation. And all embryos created through IVF in Italy are required to be implanted in the recipient mother, thus preventing any leftover embryos from being used in research laboratories. By 2005, over 30 countries around the world had banned all forms of human cloning.
Whoa.
Isn't that fucking crazy?
So if a woman's trying to use IVF because they try to see how many eggs they can pull out at once, if you get like 8 viable eggs and you put them on ice to use for later, like sometimes not all of them work out. So are you going to force a woman to, like, use every single one of those? Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, say she pulls out, like, 8. She got to use them all? What?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I mean, I didn't look into, you know what? There we go. 5th fucking episode. IVF in Italy. I mean, IVF in general is really fascinating. And it's a huge discussion right now, especially everything that's going on with Roe v. Wade. I was
definitely going to touch on it a little bit when I talk about my adoption episode.
Yeah, I mean, it's all of this stuff comes in hand, and as I was talking about earlier, you know, I was excited that you brought up IVF without me even prompting it, because they are so similar depending on what process we're talking about.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's really, okay, hold on. 7 states: Arizona, Arkansas, Michigan, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Dakota, and Virginia ban all forms of human cloning. That's it. 10 states: California, Connecticut, Illinois, Iowa, Maryland, Massachusetts, Missouri, Montana, New Jersey, and Rhode Island have so-called clone and kill laws. Which are, so it can be used for, like, the gene cloning that, and some of the other stuff that we were talking about before, where they're able to skirt, you know, I'm just going to read the law in 1 second. More than half of 50 states currently have no laws addressing cloning. And then in 2013, Oregon got stem cells from a cloned human embryos because there are no laws against that there. Okay. So, like, people are doing stuff with, like, cloning embryos, and like, they're doing their own stuff kind of within their own laws and morality in different places.
Yeah.
Okay, let me pull up.
Well, I mean, I guess with what Bill Clinton said, I guess it really is being left up to the states to decide.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Which is a little bit of a scary thing sometimes.
It is. And I have this one source that I used a lot in talking about this law stuff that in the 2015, an article was released called The Threat of Human Cloning. And it's a 4-part amazing breakdown. So if anyone has any questions or wants more information that I didn't cover here, definitely look to the sources, because this one was truly incredible. Okay. So proposed language for laws prohibiting cloning in the United States almost always use a technical definition, focusing on restricting specific procedures, in contrast to the more expansive conceptual definitions found in other countries. So human asexual reproduction instead of, like, so the, hold on. The recent Harris bill, to choose just one example, defines the term human cloning as human asexual reproduction accomplished by introducing the nuclear material of a human somatic cell into a fertilized or unfertilized eukaryote whose nucleus has been removed or inactivated to produce a living organism with a human or predominantly human genetic constitution. So, like, that's a, there are a lot of loopholes in that very long definition. Whereas in Canada, they describe it as banning a human clone by using any technique or human transplant a human clone into a human being or into any non-human life form or artificial device. Their definitions are much more concise and they're very, very specific in other countries. Mm-hmm. I think with that,
I feel like America likes to get very wordy with their laws and stuff.
Oh, yeah. And not only that, I feel like they like to write, like, our laws are written in such a way where someone is like, I want to see if I can argue my way out of that later.
What does this actually really mean?
Yeah, but in my definition. So, yeah, I mean, that's the end of my technical notes, but I do sort of want to have and touch on the fact that we cannot have a conversation about human cloning without talking about eugenics, which is the idea of picking and choosing what traits we pass down to the next generation in such a way that we try and be very purposeful to create a master race.
Mm. So this brings into play, like, the forced sterilization of women of color.
Oh, absolutely. It brings everything into play.
Which, that is another thing that I was going to bring up on my adoption episode.
It brings everything in. It brings all of that in. Any issues involving prejudice, all of that stuff. And one of the things that I really liked about the thread of human clothing, the special report from the Witherspoon Council, was that they talked about how no matter what the outcome is of, you know, generations of people picking and choosing what the best baby looks like, it's unacceptable to be picking and choosing like that.
Yeah.
Because it, by definition of making it the best, says that anything else is unacceptable. Mm-hmm. And to be playing with genes and stuff like that, it's fucked up. It's scary, and it makes me feel like we're just a few steps away from designer babies.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Oh, that's uncomfortable. That is so uncomfortable. The only thing that I wish is that redheads weren't going extinct, and that is my own personal... makes me sad, but... I also still don't want someone to be messing with somebody's genes just to make them a redhead.
Yeah, it feels like... It feels like there's a very big difference between being like, man, I wish that my red hair wasn't a recessive gene that was, like, getting washed out by other dominant genes, and then being like, I need my baby to have red hair. Otherwise, you know, like, that's a very different thing, you know? Like, you're not out here being like, damn, I need to have a baby by a different man surrogately because it has to look like this, you know, like,
it has to have red hair.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's very, it's fucked up, especially in the society that we're living in today. And I don't have research to, like, make this, I didn't want to make the, like, a eugenics part, but it felt weird talking about cloning without bringing up that fact of, you know, people trying to do that at some point, because that sort of just seems like the natural progression of where humans would try to go with this.
Yeah, yeah. For some reason, there's a lot of very inherently evil fucking people, and it blows my mind, and they would absolutely use it for that.
Yeah, well, I mean, as you said, forced sterilization of Black women and other, literally other not white women. And people trying to make more white babies. You know, it's been seen all over the world. It's
especially with the amount of, like, white people who are super into this replacement theory thing. Like,
yeah.
Please stop, you neo-Nazis.
Please.
Please stop.
It's out of control.
Fascist motherfuckers.
Truly. Truly. And obviously, like, I don't think, like, all cloning, like, cloning of animals is fucking dope. Bring back the woolly mammoth, bring back the dodo, and the giant sloth. Here for that. But, you know, when it comes to cloning humans and stuff, it was really interesting to get into the laws and really interesting to get into the way that it's talked about. So, yeah, that's this week's episode on clones.
So out of pocket, but so here for it.
Yeah. I thought about texting you and being like, hey, by the way, I'm talking about clones. But I was like, you know what? I've never surprised her with a topic.
Listen, I think it was a good surprise.
Sweet.
I was here for it. Thank you. You made my day better.
Yeah, tell everyone that they're trying to resurrect the woolly mammoth. I support that.
They need their own island. Or just give them land back.
Yes, dude. Just give them North America back.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
For any photos related to today's episode, please go to our Instagram.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at AL2KPodcast.
Like us on Facebook at Always the Last to Know Podcast.
If you have any questions, please email us at al2kpodcast@gmail.com.
Please share, rate, and review us on your podcast listening app of choice.
Join our Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/al2kpodcast or click the link in our bio on social media.
Thanks for listening.